This morning, I have actually three verses for you, and I'm going to get to those in the within the body of the message, so stay tuned there. But I want to talk to you about beware of the three P's. Beware of the three P's. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful fall time. We just thank you again for the freedom we have to worship you and assemble together. And Lord, as we consider your word this morning, as we always pray, we pray for eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. So while I was in Michigan tending to my mom, I had some time to reflect on what seems to be this sort of general malaise that's going around, right? It's just kind of weird. It sort of descended on our nation. I saw it in Michigan as well. You can sort of see and feel it all over the place in families, community groups, even in churches. I've felt it here in the last few weeks as well. What am I talking about? It seems to me that in general, people are exhausted and somewhat raw. And if we think about it a little bit, it's not so hard to understand. Just consider that the world was shut down for nearly 2 years, and people were on severe restrictions, some more severe than others, depending on where you lived. Then there are serious political divisions that are sort of tearing our nation apart to shreds. And then we're sort of in the midst of what has been dubbed by some sociologists the culture wars. And it's created deep fear and rage among people in our nation as well as around the world. Then there is inflation. I don't eat fast food anymore, but I did when I was in Michigan. I made a run for the border. And I eat the crappy bean burritos, I used to anyway. And I used to get those for 89 cents. They were $2.59 a piece in Michigan. It was $11. And I was like, I'm not doing this again. Inflation, it's hit everything. Did you ever think that you would live to see the day that a Taco Bell employee was paid $17 an hour? I never thought I would, right? And then just like a bad TV infomercial, but wait, there's more. There's more. We've witnessed the first war in Europe since World War II. And you know, we do love to hear the stories about how the Ukrainians have been given Putin's Russia a pounding. That's sort of fun. But the US and the West have pumped billions and billions of dollars in aid there. And then have you noticed Putin has alluded to the possibility of using nukes? We haven't thought about that since the end of the Cold War, right? We're just adding layer and layer on stuff. And this is sort of what we're feeling, I think. Christian author John Eldredge says, who also has a counseling background, he said, you know, we're only beginning to pay the psychological debt of COVID-19. And then you add everything on top of it, and people are just kind of like spent, washed out. It's hard to handle. And this doesn't even include, you know, things like relational issues that everybody has, or just the day-to-day difficulties of living in a fallen world. I say all of this not to add depression to despair, but rather to sort of bring out to the surface some things that I think we're all feeling and we're not quite sure why, maybe. And I noticed that stuff happening in Michigan as well. It's not just here, it's all over the place. And I really want to say thank you. I really appreciate Greg stepping up and taking over for me for a couple weeks, the messages, the teachings, life groups. Thank you, Greg. It was really helpful. And I really appreciated the title of his two messages. It really helped me to form this one. The first one was Faith, Life, and Legacy. And the second one was God, Family, and Country. And he quoted the old Chicago song, right? Does anybody know what time it is? You can sing it, yeah. I actually had to play that a few times this weekend. The point is, I think we're experiencing so much stuff that I don't think anybody really does know what time it is. And I don't think we really care. I think one more thing and we're all about ready to snap. Is this just me or am I a psycho? be careful, Jeff. I just think people are overwhelmed right now. And at any rate, I want to touch on, I want to remind us as Christians to be aware of the three P's. Now, what are the three P's that we're supposed to be wary of? And in times like this, I would say, I want to say something about politics. I want to say something about prophecy, and I want to say something about prosperity. Because when times get tough, Christians start leaning into these sorts of things in sort of weird ways. First P, I want to talk about politics, which kind of reminds me of the time when a Russian Jew named Jacob was finally allowed to emigrate to Israel. There he is. And at the Moscow airport, a customs inspector found a statue of Vladimir Lenin in his luggage and said, "What is this?" Jacob replied, "Wrong question, comrade. You should have asked, who is this?" "This is Comrade Lenin. He laid the foundations of socialism and created the future prosperity of the Russian people. I'm taking him with me as a memory of our dear hero." And so the Russian customs official sent him on his way. When he arrived at Tel Aviv, the airport, the Israeli customs official also asked, "What is this?" "Wrong question, sir. You should be asking, who is this?" "This is Lenin, the jerk that caused me, a Jew, to leave Russia. I take this statue as a reminder to curse him every single day." And the Israeli official said, "Okay, on your way." When he settled in his new home, Jacob put the statue on his kitchen table. And the following evening, he invited some friends over to have dinner. And spotting the statues, one of his distant relations said, "Who is this?" And Jacob replied, "Wrong question. You should have asked, what is this?" "This is 5 pounds of solid gold that I managed to bring with me without having to pay any custom duty or tax." What's the moral of the story? With politics, you can say the same garbage in different ways to fool different people and still come out smelling like a rose. That's politics. And yet we put our faith in politicians sometimes. Why? Why? Now, when we founded the church some 5.5 years ago, we had a clear policy that there would be no politicking in this church. No politicking, especially up front here. And frankly, I'll let you know, I've been criticized heavily for it by both sides. We've had people come and go and leave the church because of that. Now look, we all have political perspectives. I've been open and honest about mine in private conversation. If you know me, you know kind of what I think. But we've got these midterms coming up in November. And there is intense disunity in our nation, hateful contempt for other people. It's rampant, it's getting worse. And what I want to say is this, is if you're a Christian, you do not get a pass on hate, ever. You know, even whatever you think about those people are made in the image of God. Amen? Yeah, and I just, we need to be thinking about these things because it's easy to get sucked into it. I could not tell you how many times I have heard people actually say, especially recently, "It's never been worse in our nation's history." Well, Eeyore, that's patently false. It's false. The Revolutionary War, hello. Civil War. Some of you remember Vietnam War. That was actually probably worse. The current political and culture wars are not so different than the Vietnam years, with one exception, that we no longer wear bell bottoms and tube tops. Praise the living God. Some fashion should die a horrible death. And I thank God for that one. Here's my point. Our ultimate hope is where? In Jesus Christ, not in politicians, not in political processes, as important as they may be, right? Now, don't walk away. People, they walk away sometimes. I didn't say don't vote. I didn't say that. As a Christian, it's your duty to be informed. To be informed and to vote according to kingdom values, amen? So you must weigh this stuff out and pray through it. Remember, here's one of the first verses, your citizenship is ultimately in heaven. I didn't say this isn't important, it is, right? But Paul says this, memorize this verse, Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly await a savior from there. Amen. I don't know how to get it any more simple. Philippians 3:20, memorize it. Remember this, Paul was a Roman citizen. And that was a rare thing to be in Bible times. So when the Emperor Nero sentenced him to death for being a Christian. Because he was a citizen, Paul could not be crucified like Jesus. He was beheaded. So his death was much swifter. That was considered a mercy. This is just fun facts for you. At any rate, please vote. Please be informed. When you cast your ballot, cast it as a Christian whose primary focus and ultimate hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Second P, I want to talk about prophecy, which kind of reminds me of the time. After taking a pounding by the Ukrainians, Vladimir Putin decided to consult with a fortune teller. Even though that's very dangerous, yeah, there he is, and very patently unbiblical. Much to his dismay, the fortune teller told Mr. Putin that he would die on a Ukrainian holiday. Which one, he asked, to which the fortune teller replied, whenever you die, it will be a Ukrainian holiday. That's so mean. Or, kind of like the time when a frog wanted to know about his future and he went to meet an oracle. The oracle prophesied that in his future, he would be touched by a beautiful lady. The frog grew curious and wanted to know when and where it would happen, to which the oracle replied, next year, in a biology lab. Over the years, I could not tell you how many people have left churches that I was pastoring because they didn't get enough of the so-called prophecy teaching. I'm just going to go there today. If you have been a Christian for any amount of time, you have seen so many or countless so-called prophecy books come and go. You know, they're wildly popular for a season, and then they disappear off the radar with shocking speed, and nobody talks about them anymore. Then you have the so-called prophecy teachers who almost always have very, very little theological education or training. And they love to predict the end of the world. I mean, in your lifetime alone, how many times have you heard somebody predicting the end of the world? They gain a huge following, the date passes uneventfully, and then it all fades away, and then the world laughs at us. It's a terrible witness. You guys are nuts, knuckleheads, always trying to predict the future. Actually, this is unbiblical. It's bad. We shouldn't be doing this for specific reasons. All this prophetic prognostication, it's very popular with some Christians, wildly so. But I want to ask this, is it biblical? Is it biblical? I think all this stuff stems from the insatiable need that we need to know. Somehow we got to feel like we're in control of something. I's got to know. Why? Ask that question, right? For many Christians, instead of focusing on Jesus Christ and his words, they'd rather go around to what I call Christian fortune tellers who dispense Christian fortune cookies. Oh, that's unnecessarily harsh, Jim. Really? Right? Most of this prophecy teaching ends up being false teaching or bad theology at best. So, what did Jesus say about his second coming in glory and the end of this world? It's spelled out in black and white. Open your Bibles. Do bring your Bibles. Matthew 24:36. Memorize this. About that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels, nor what? The Son, but only the Father. Did you catch that? Say this with me. Memorize it. About that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels, nor the Son, Jesus, only the Father. Did you catch that? These are Jesus' own words. He tells us that he doesn't know when he will return. He will return when his Father tells him to do so. Could it be any clearer? You don't know nothing about prophecy, Pastor. I know what the Bible says about this. This means that any man, woman, or child who tries to predict a specific date on the return of Jesus Christ has not understood Jesus and has sinned against his words, period. Does that seem harsh? It's very biblical. When I quote that verse to the prophecy crowd, they get mad. I'm like, don't get mad at me. It's Jesus' words, not mine. You know, don't shoot the messenger, but they like to try and do that. Do you know what the charge in ancient Israel for false prophecy was? Death by stoning. And I don't mean legal reefer. I mean, stones, rocks, kill you, dead. False prophets get killed. Why? Because a false prophet dishonors God by leading the sheep astray. Is this clear? And yet people do it all the time. In fact, I was recently informed that a former member of Mosaic Church, not anymore, was going around Hamilton telling people the world is going to end before the new year. Jesus is going to return before 2023. And when this person, in all likelihood, is dead wrong, will this person be held accountable by Christians or Christian churches in the valley? No. No, we'll just shake our head and move on. Did you know that, I think part of the problem is we don't understand what the word prophecy means, right? We like it to be this big razzmatazz, foretelling the future. Did you know that most biblical prophecy is not that? Very small part. It's actually foretelling God's word. It's not foretelling the future, except very few cases, right? Prophetic foretelling usually goes something like this in the Old Testament. Thus says the Lord God, obey me, obey the Lord your God, and he will bless you. If you disobey God, he will curse you. You'll curse yourself. That's how it goes. That's biblical foretelling. You know, and yet so many Christians remain connoisseurs of prophetic foretelling, because of some insatiable need to know and control things instead of focusing on Jesus Christ. Spend your time reading the Bible instead of hanging out with these charlatans. Yeah, I'm just saying it. Read your Bible if you want to know the truth, right? Instead of treating God like some sort of heavenly dispensing machine or magic eight ball. Anybody remember the magic eight ball? I got one. No, Pastor. No, I bought this years ago. So when I was a professor, on the final exam, one of the parts was an essay. And there would be three essays, and I would typically roll a die. They didn't know, they had the essays before, they had to prepare them, but I would roll a die so to choose it. One year, I decided for fun to mix it up. Bad idea. I brought in a magic eight ball for the final exam. And I said, oh, magic eight ball, will it be essay number one? Doubtful. Magic eight ball, will it be number? I got to number two and the class almost rioted. Have you ever seen an urban riot or fire? It moves very quick. It has a mind of its own. They were so ticked off, they almost tore the place down. And I had to put the magic eight ball down and go back to them because they thought the die was more scientific and fair. I'm serious. I'm not making this up. I wish I was. You know, why are we so idolatrous and blasphemous that we actually treat God like a magic eight ball? Oh, dear Lord, when's Jesus coming back? Magic eight ball? Is he coming back this year? Oh, doubtful. That's not the answer I want. Probably. That's better. Most assuredly. I got the answer I want. This is a gag, people. He told us to go buy magic eight ball. I did not tell you to buy a magic eight ball. Listen to the point, literalists. Anyway, third P I want to talk about this morning is prosperity, which reminds me kind of like the time when Vladimir Putin was elected president of Russia. I got a theme here, huh? The night that he was sworn, after he was sworn into office, he had a dream, and he stood in a long, elegant hall and was surrounded by all the great Russian leaders of history, from Ivan the Terrible to Boris Yeltsin. Looking around at them, he bowed his head and said, "O great rulers of Russia, I seek your wisdom in our country's time of need. How should I lead our nation to greater prosperity?" And all the leaders turned to Joseph Stalin, who stepped forward and said to Putin, "There are two things you must do if you want to lead Mother Russia into greater prosperity. First of all, you must shoot and kill all Russian politicians who are interested in Western-style democracy." That's the first thing. Shocker. "And the second, if you want greater prosperity for Russia, you must paint the Kremlin blue." Putin looked at Stalin in utter disbelief. He said, "Blue? Why would I want to paint the Kremlin blue?" And turning to the other Russian leaders, Stalin cracked a smile and began to howl with laughter and said, "See, I told you he wouldn't ask about the first one." Ooh. How many of us remember the scandals of the 1980s televangelists? Yeah? Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Baker, the others. You know, I was, there they are. Good night. Look at those big glasses. Remember those? They look like safety glasses. Anyway, that's not in the sermon. I was flipping through the TV. I don't really watch TV, but one day I was just flipping, and guess who I saw an older, white-haired version of? Jimmy Baker. He was on TV, and I'm like, what's he up to these days after, you know, getting sprung from the clink? You know what he was doing? He was hawking CBD oil. I was like, why don't you preach the gospel like you were supposed to be doing instead of hawking wares? What is your problem? I think I spent half of the 1980s trying to convince unbelievers that this was not the gospel. Anybody remember that? What do you think of these guys? Like, not much. Well, aren't they part of your Christian faith? Well, sort of, kind of, not really, kind of, sort of. Not, ugh. I was so glad. I was telling, I think, Ty this morning, a couple other people, my grandmother, who led me to faith, loved these guys, like a lot of other people. I think it was Bruce. And I'm actually glad she died before their scandals. It would have broken her heart. Would have broken her heart. Hawking stuff now. Here we go. And then there's other spin-offs. Anybody remember the movement? It's still around, the power of positive thinking. Power of positive thinking. Remember, some of you are old enough to remember Norman Vincent Peale? And then his protege was who, anybody? Robert Schuller. Hour of Power, the Crystal Cathedral. Woo! Give to the Lord through my hands. Really? And I'm going to just go there. I think you could add Joel Osteen into the mix. Oh, I just went there. I told you I'm going there. What are we doing, people? Preachers of prosperity are equally loved just as prophecy teachers are. And if you can combine the two, ooh, you can really get a big crowd. You can generate money, as if that's what the gospel was about. You know, as our country struggles with inflation, remember, it affects the entire world. In fact, I think you could say, economically, when the United States sneezes, the rest of the world catches cold. It's really true. Inflation will increase the appeal of prosperity preachers. Just from a sociological perspective. Harkening back, I remember Jim Baker's words. He had some real zingers. Here's one. He would say, God wants his people to go first class. You know, like in the airlines. I never go first class. You know how much more money that is? I'm in cage class, usually by the bathroom with the the economy seats that don't go backwards. I save a bunch of cash, though. God wants his people to go first class. What do you even mean, dude? As he had gold fixtures in the doghouse, literally. Right? Remember this stuff? So you're like, are you making this up? I'm not making it up. Matthew 19, 21 and following. What did Jesus say to the rich young ruler? If you want to be perfect, go and what? Sell your possessions and give to the poor. I don't like his preaching. I'm going to go find another church. This is boring. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Oh, it's not done. Jesus says, truly, I tell you, it's hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm not rich. Look at that guy. Look at the stock farm. How about look at ourselves and forget the stock farm? Besides, we're not getting in there anyway. Who cares? I was invited there once, but it's because I did a funeral. Anyway, you're full of sunshine and uplift. It's easier, Jesus said, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, Semitic hyperbole, than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Your stuff is not your stuff if you're a Christian, right? He calls you to give. We talk about radical generosity and giving here. And we do it. That's one, you know, why the Halloween, Jim? Because we can. Because it's fun and we can reach families quickly. I mean, we have 1,000 kids going by here, almost. And then when they're done, they're going down the street to Jason and Sarah's house. I mean, they're just cleaning up. And then the poor mothers, they're so frazzled. And then the poor teachers. Tuesday, you're going to have an epidemic of sick teachers on Tuesday. Actually, I think a lot of the schools are like, you don't get to call in on Tuesday. It's terrible for teachers. Anyway, this idea is not a unique problem to American Christians. When I was in Uganda, I was appalled to hear the prosperity preachers there. You know what they do there? They sell holy rice. Holy rice to poor Ugandan Christians. They tell them this, that God will bless them and their families if they buy the holy rice. Now, the holy rice, though, costs four times the amount of regular rice. And people routinely go hungry in Uganda. But buy this holy rice. That's not right. That's not the gospel. That's a false gospel. That's a heretical teaching. Yet we hear this kind of stuff from prosperity preachers on the TV all the time. It's the same stuff. Jesus has a particular heart for what he called the least of these, the ones that don't matter in the world's eyes, the poor and the downtrodden. So here's what we're called to do as Christians. Reduce your desires. Don't increase them. Reduce your desires and focus on Jesus Christ himself. Don't give in to the temptations that are all around us. I love what the Roman Stoic philosopher Seneca said. There is no difference between the man and the woman who has riches and the man and the man or woman who doesn't want them. Right? Like, go think on that one for a while. Sounds like a Zen koan. There's no difference, really, in the end of the day. The point of my message this morning is that while we are living in challenging times, it's true, COVID pandemic recovery, deep political and cultural divisions, pernicious war, incredible inflation, keep strong and stay the course, amen? Keep your primary focus on Jesus Christ himself. Do not give in to the temptations of politics, false prophecy, and a godless prosperity gospel that will get you stuck in the weeds as a Christian. Be informed. Vote responsibly as a Christian who supports kingdom values. And don't you dare fall into the godless rage and hate that is consuming so many of our fellow Americans. I mean, geez, people are ready to tear the place down in some places. Never fall in with the false prognosticators of prophecy who think they can actually predict the end of the world. Jesus himself patently said, only his Father in heaven knows, right? Now, some people are going to walk away a little mad. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. And finally, avoid the prosperity gospel like you would a plague, because it's a false gospel and it has trapped and hurt many a Christian with its pernicious promises. So that's what I want to share with you today. Beware of the three P's: politics, prophecy, and prosperity. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we live in difficult times. There's so much going on, it's hard to keep it straight. But we know you keep all things straight and clear. And so, Lord, help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to stay the course, to keep moving ahead, knowing that better days are ahead in you. And we just thank you that for the reminder that we need to do things your way and not believe the lies that are just encircling us every single day. Lord God, we just ask for wisdom. Again, eyes to see and ears to hear. Everything you want to say to us about these issues and more. And we pray all this only and always in Jesus' name, saying, amen. Amen.